Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. We have old sports just all around us here on the TVs. Like, it seems every sports channel is tapping in. Then it'll be the simulated stuff. Like, tomorrow this NBA 2K tournament starts. But just watch the Sabre game. I've got the 2001 World Series. Joe's now got some Nick game from the early 70s. I don't know.
It's a 70 NBA All-Star game, apparently.
1970 NBA All-Star game. This is a... It's a big world. We got a lot of old sports just teeming off the walls here. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. We are happy and proud to have Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz join us now on the Wester Hotline. How are you, Mr. Poloncarz?
I'm hanging in there, Mike. I hope everyone else is as well, too.
Did you not do the update today?
I did not. I left it to the Deputy County Executive, Maria White, and Dr. Burstein. I just can't do every single one of them, and I'm glad that they were able to fill in, but I was able to get on the phone with you guys today, so it's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
I hope we didn't pull you away from that. For this.
Yeah. I had another thing I had to do at 3 o'clock. So
okay.
We're trying to keep the press conferences at 3 every day, but there's days in which I'm just not going to be able to make it and days that Gail won't be able to make it. Who knows who you'll be left with sometimes. We might have... depending who we're left with, we may have the Parks Commissioner and the Director of People with Disabilities on if we're all busy. So, but we'll have the continual updates. We just might not always be there.
So we know, you know, in general at least, what the numbers look like and have looked like locally, nationwide, worldwide. What is your state of mind about things with the knowledge or the likelihood, it seems, that this will get worse for a while still, statistically, but here we are all, or most of us at least, I think, I'd like to think, making these efforts and these sacrifices to flatten the curve, as they put it. I tend to be kind of optimistic about Western New York for a couple of reasons. Maybe I'll, you know, get into that with you here. What's your state of mind about the overall?
Well, we are going to get worse before we get better. We have 727 confirmed cases in Erie County. 607 of them are active. We have had 101 recoveries. That's a positive, but we had 7 more deaths since yesterday, so we're up to 19 deaths. We know, because people weren't taking it seriously, that there is COVID-19 in all age groups. It's not just seniors. We've had children as young as under than 5 that have it. There's a lot. 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds that have it. I don't think people took it seriously enough early on. I'm hoping they're keeping it serious and taking it serious now, but I'm still getting reports of congregations of people together. We know our parks are busy. If you're walking with your family that you live with, that's fine, but if you're walking with all of your friends as you're walking your dogs and there's 10 of you, that's really a dumb idea, because there's a good chance, based on the statistics, that one of you, if they do not have COVID-19, at least has been exposed to COVID-19, to the coronavirus. We're looking at weeks at least till we hit a peak, but the question is it 4 weeks? Is it 6 weeks? I really can't give you an answer. It could be more. We have models that run statistics based on the increases in Italy, the increases in China, the increases in New York City, from like the first case to the 100th case, and how long it took depending on the population. Because remember, we talk about Italy, we're not talking about all of Italy per se. We're talking mostly about the Lombardy region. Other parts of Italy have not been hit as hard. So you can do statistical analysis based on population. And depending on how the modeling goes, it could be weeks, it could be months. And I'm trying to be serious. People don't want to hear that always. But I was talking to a gentleman earlier today, and he's like, oh, you think we'll be back to normal in 2 or 3 weeks? And I gave him the answer, no. I'm sorry, but I just don't see that as the reality. I'm hoping we, by the time we get to summer, we do have a tremendous drop, but we're still going to be dealing with this one way or another because we expect the coronavirus to come back in the fall, maybe not as strong, but we do anticipate that we're going to be dealing with this for some time one way or another.
Mark, as it pertains to groups gathering, people in the park and that sort of thing, how proactive can government be on policing that sort of thing? It's a very new frontier, I think, obviously, as it pertains to that sort of thing, for people to look at that critically, or even, I don't know, criminally. But like, what sort of enforcement can there be of those sorts of policies?
Well, it's not easy. If it's a bar, restaurant, or a place that's shut down, we can send our sanitarians out there from the Erie County Department of Health with a sheriff's deputy and write a commission order and shut them down, and they could be fined or have their liquor license pulled. If it's people hanging out in the parks, we can have our sheriffs working in concert with the rangers and others from the parks department to try to break up the congregation of individuals. Most people have been pretty good about trying to avoid being around people that they haven't been around, but not everyone has. We had to shut down the disc golf in our parks, frolf as it's sometimes called, because people were not breaking up into smaller groups. They were going out in like 8 and 10-somes, we heard. And then, of course, they're tossing their discs, and it ends up in the basket. And then they reach in and touch the basket, get their disc. I mean, you could be transmitting COVID-19. So working with the local disc golf association, we agreed to shut them down, which meant taking the baskets out. And if we couldn't take the baskets off the poles because of them being rusted out, we just cut the damn pole right off. And some of the disc golf folks were mad. And it's an example just like the bars and restaurants. They went for the money. And they thought it'd be great. We'll get the extra cash. We'll get people in here, even when they said that they shouldn't be congregating. And it just, we shut everyone else down because of it. You know, it's only takeout.
I know a couple of places it was reported over the weekend. I saw you tweeting about it, that we're in violation. I guess it would have been last Friday night into Saturday. And have there been others that have not been reported on, or have we only had those two instances where establishments opened, one in Clarence, one in the First Ward, trying to get, get around the shutdown orders?
It's the only two that we've shut down with the commissioner's orders, and we think actually shutting them down sent a message to the rest. We have gotten an occasional information from the public, and we'll send a sanitarian out there. They'll see like a full parking lot. We'll go out there and we'll determine that, no, they don't have any dining in. They are doing takeout, and maybe they've got 20 cars in the parking lot because they got 20 people working in the restaurant. We have gone out on additional calls. We have not had to shut anyone else down, to my knowledge. I would have known about it if we did. And I think that those two shutdowns sent a message to the rest that every one of these violations is subject to a $10,000 fine. And I don't care how much you're making sitting at the bar selling a few Jenny Lights and chicken fingers. You're not making $10,000 that night. And is it worth having a $10,000 fine and potentially losing your liquor license? Of course not. So I think the message got out there to the rest of them that we're tempted to do it, that go ahead, we'll send the folks out and we'll shut you down. So I'm glad to say that since then we haven't had any actual documented cases where we had to shut anybody down. But we have gotten calls, and we'll go out and check on it.
With Erie County Executive Mark Polenkars, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, this is WGR. you talked about the challenges of the statistics, and I've been reading a lot about that. 538 last night, like, there's, for so many reasons that make sense, it's just been really tough to have statistics really define what we're looking at in this situation. I have been, relatively speaking, somewhat optimistic about Western New York. I have been impressed with you and your leadership, and the fact that in New York State, with the terrible scene that it's been and continues to be in New York City, the governor was out, you know, pretty firm and good. Like, no, this, you stay home, and all the mandates from that. So I want to think, I don't, maybe you just want to comment on this, and I don't want, you know, of course it's serious and it's not going to be consolation to anybody who's, you know, who's sick. But I want to be optimistic for Western New York because of these reasons.
I think most people are adhering to it. Our problem was it didn't happen initially. There were churches that said, well, you know, we're okay to congregate. And then you get the reports a week later that a bunch of the people who went to their to the church for their service are now sick. We know the people who were partying the week before St. Patrick's Day, and then they were mad when we shut down the parades. Well, we've also gotten reports of individuals who are out partying that St. Patrick's Day week are sick now. I see the names. I do know a few of the people who are sick. So it's not like I look at that and I don't recognize names. I actually do recognize some of the names from people I either know in the community or I know who they are. And I feel for them. I don't know how they caught it. For those who went out and partied and said, the heck with it, I'm young, I don't have to worry about this, they put themselves at risk. They've caught it, and they may pass it on to someone else. Maybe they get through it. Maybe they're fine with mild symptoms or no symptoms at all. If they have no symptoms at all, we probably don't know about it because in all likelihood they haven't been tested. But they could pass it on to a loved one, a senior, grandparent. As I said, don't kill grandma. If you're going to go out and party, you might end up taking it home and going to get some corned beef at grandma's house later, and you could kill her. And the vast majority of the people who've died in Erie County are over the age of at least 65. So I think it's important that people realize what your actions can do to someone else. They say we're our brothers and sisters keeper. Well, we have to do that. So that means, yeah, it's not so great. We've shut down. Our economy is a mess right now. But the economy of the entire country is a mess. It's not like we're any worse than anywhere else. I saw a news report about comparing our economy and how bad it was, and I'm thinking, we're no better or worse than anywhere else. So it's like doing comparisons at that point is kind of silly. Everyone's in the same boat. And the only way we're going to get through this, considering we're all in the same boat, is to follow the rules. I'd like to think most people are, but I know not everyone is. And as a result, they're putting other people at risk. Mm-hmm. And they're putting our healthcare workers at risk. Because if people get sick, they're often going to hospitals, urgent cares, doctor's offices. And what have we seen among a lot of the people that the county's been testing lately is we test healthcare workers. We test law enforcement. We test first responders. And there's a lot of them that are getting sick. Why? Because they're getting in contact with individuals who are sick for one reason or another. And the last thing we can afford to do is have our healthcare workers and first responders go down. Because if they go down, who is going to be out there to provide for them? And so that's why I keep on saying we have to follow these physical distancing guidelines. We can still socially connect. I can play guitar videos every now and then. You see Bulldogs videos. I don't know about you, Mike. What are you doing?
I mean, look at you two. I have no chance. I'm not even going to start.
But
did you not see Tuna Discus yesterday, Mark?
Tuna Discus.
Did you not see Tuna Discus?
Yeah, my kids are 10 and 8. We're figuring it out. We're inventing stuff to do.
I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a staged reading of your favorite book or the play-by-play of a famous call, but we all need to do stuff like that. But we need to do it from a distance. And if we're not going to get through this any quicker. And that's the thing. I've got models that show us flattening the curve and not flattening the curve. And if we don't flatten the curve, we'll get through this quicker in some ways, but there'll be thousands and thousands of people who will die in the community. If we flatten the curve, it might take a little longer to get through it, but there'll be less hospitalizations, less people who die. So, yeah, we can afford to hang out for weeks or months and deal with this. It's not going to be pretty, but I'd rather do that than just have mass hospitalizations and deaths in which we're all going to know somebody who dies at that point.
So, I'm sorry, Bulldog, go ahead. You go next.
I don't want to get too far into this maybe now. Maybe you can wait until later in the conversation, but you brought up the guitar video thing, Mark. And I'm just curious. I mean, I don't feel like I know you real well, but I feel like I know you some. And I'm wondering how much you wrestled with doing that at all, because I think you're always going to get some segment of the population that the feedback is going to be, oh, great, he's got time to sing a Goo Goo Doll song. And so I'm wondering, like if you or even people who advise you were maybe hesitant to have you, you know, just do that, present yourself that way.
The answer is yes. Yes, I knew that I'd get feedback, and my staff was like, oh, there he goes again, something we'd rather he didn't do. But, you know, I got to have a stress relief, too. I'm dealing with things that most people have never even comprehended. I mean, they're all upset about, well, I can't get a test. I'm dealing with decisions on where I'm going to put a refrigerated container for the excess bodies. So when I get home at night, if I decide to pick up the guitar and start playing and singing, and I used to play in a band years ago. I was a singer in a band years ago. And I go to parties every now and then, and they'll be like, hey, bring your guitar and play a few tunes. So literally a friend said, you know, unfortunately, I guess you're not going to be doing any parties and tunes anytime soon. I said, well, not in person, but maybe I'll do one on video, and just decided to do it the one night. And yes, there's been critique. I've had a couple people in media critique me, saying it's stupid, he's wasting his time. I mean, if at 9 o'clock at night, after basically spending 10 to 12 hours at work, I come home and pick up the guitar and sing a song, and people like it. That's an interesting thing, is a lot of people like it. A lot of people say it offers them, it calms them down to know that, hey, he's not an automaton, he's not a robot, and oh, by the way, he likes the song, he can play the guitar and sing to a song I like. I mean, isn't that what this is supposed to be about? It's supposed to be about coming together and finding a way to get through this. And if it's me playing the guitar, if it's you playing the guitar, if it's Mr. Salvatore singing his favorite tunes, Russ Salvatore doing that, so why would anybody criticize them?
Yeah, and
if it makes people feel better, then that's what we should be doing at this point.
The technology is our friend in a lot of ways for this, for information and for these sort of diversions. Beyond the all-important message, and we've here been pushing that message ourselves for 3+ weeks now, stay home, et cetera. What else might people be able to do that is helpful? Is it donations? Is it producing things? Like, what might be interesting to know about as far as that goes? And then also, before we're done here, we've got to know, what about people in all the questions you're getting too? Like, people whose business is closing, and all the different, you know, real life stuff, unemployment, these kinds of things. What, in the short time we have, what can you help people who need help with?
Well, first off, if you have a direct healthcare question regarding COVID-19, you can call our hotline at 858-2929 between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. daily. That is a call center that's in the Rath building downtown. We have trained individuals who've pretty much gotten every question you can imagine now, who are there to answer the phone. If you have general questions regarding services, like how do I apply for unemployment insurance, which is through New York State, you can call 211. You can also, of course, look for this stuff online, New York State Unemployment Insurance. We know they're having problems taking applications. We've had a lot of people say, can you take the applications in Erie County? And the answer is no, we don't have anything to do with unemployment insurance. So we feel people's pain, but there's not a whole lot we can do because it's really in New York State's hands. People can do other things. I mean, we are telling folks that you can go out, go for walks, go for bike rides with your family. Our parks are open, but be smart about it. Don't congregate in a group. Don't go to the same park. We've had problems at Chestnut Ridge Park where there's too many people there. Same thing at Delaware Park for the city of Buffalo. But there's lots of other parks that you can go to. Take the football out, throw with your kids. Baseball out, throw with your kids. Don't get a group of baseball, a team together. That would be bad. But people are doing that. We've heard stories of soccer teams like coming together, and we're like, no, please don't. And then you hear from the parents, well, we hear kids don't get it. I'm like, well, we know kids can get it because we've got kids in this area who have it. So people can still do things. They can, of course, make donations to, like, the Food Bank of Western New York.
Mm-hmm.
Local food pantries are really hurting, and they also are hurting for volunteers. many of the volunteers in these food pantries and these types of organizations are usually over the age of 70. And these individuals are being told, don't go out. Don't go to a setting where you potentially could come at risk with someone who has the coronavirus. And then these individuals, of course, that have a much more higher degree of being hospitalized or dying. So if you've never thought about donating or helping out at the local food pantry, now's the time to do it. You could call. There's food pantries in almost every community in the urban, suburban, and rural areas. The Food Bank of Western New York is taking donations of food and, of course, money. And they may need volunteers, so you can look them up online. Last I knew that they were doing okay, but the food pantries were having serious problems. There's a lot of organizations out there that are in need of help at this time. And so if you've never volunteered for one, and even if you put in 1 or 2 hours a week, it could mean a huge difference for that organization.
Also blood, right?
Yes, there was a huge problem nationwide and also locally with donations to blood for blood banks. The Red Cross, as well as Connect Life, are two main organizations that are taking blood in the region. I know we seem to have stepped up, as Western New York often does, and with their blood numbers were not normal, but they were better than they were. But if you're a blood donor and you haven't done it in a while, you might want to do it. If you've never done it, now's a great time to start. For people wondering, can the coronavirus be transmitted by blood? We have no evidence of that. The coronavirus, the virus itself, is generally transmitted through respiratory issues, sneezing, coughing, touching a surface that has it. It's not something that we are aware of that can be transmitted through a blood donation. So giving blood or receiving blood, you generally are, to my knowledge and what we've seen from the medical experts, you would not put yourself at risk to the coronavirus. So that's something you might want to think about doing.
Mark, a lot of what we've heard day to day from the governor has been, certainly it's been focused on New York City and the shortage of hospital beds and equipment. You know, we're recognizing here that we're, you know, an uncertain duration of weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks out from what could be the peak of it locally. How prepared do you feel like with that amount of lead time are the hospitals in the area with, you know, masks, protective equipment, and then even like the big one, respirators?
We're in a better place than we are because everyone's behind. We did receive earlier this week a shipment of N95 masks, surgical masks, gowns, gloves, face shields, which from New York State, which we were distributing out to healthcare organizations with the 50% of it going to the hospitals. Erie County has a big order that's coming in of N95 masks. 400,000 of them. The first batch will start receiving them on the 10th. We're trying to find other alternatives as well because we know 400,000 sounds like a lot, but if we get as many cases as we potentially could, well, that's not going to get us through where we need to be. New York City is in a really bad position. I don't think anyone is sitting here, and I certainly hope they're not, thinking that, well, just because New York City's got all these cases that we're being ignored, because we're not being ignored. I'm on the phone with the governor's staff, talked to Lieutenant Governor recently, reached out back and forth with the governor. He's kind of tough to get on the phone, but we've texted. They know what's going on here. But to give you an idea, I mean, as I said, we had 124 new cases today. We still have 727 confirmed. Now, we know that there's more of them in the community than the confirmed. I'm looking right now, and as of 9:30 this morning, there were 48,462 cases in New York City. That does not include Westchester County. That does not include Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk County. They're in a really bad spot, and they are our New York State brethren, and we're helping out as best as we can. They thankfully have not talked about shipping patients here yet or asking for our supplies. We have had some personnel go down there under the assumption that if we needed to bring them back, we could bring them back. But it's really bad down there. I talked to my colleagues, they're just every day they just shake their head. And when we talk on the phone or texting, and they're just like, I thought it was going to be a good day, and it's another bad day. And we have 19 deaths here. Nassau County, which is a little larger. I think they're up to 70 deaths. But, of course, New York City, they've got, as of this morning, had 1,397 deaths. Yeah, New York City's big. But still, that's a lot of people who have died as a result of the coronavirus. And some of those are healthcare workers. So we need to support them as best as they can, knowing that they're going to be in a worse shape than we are for quite some time. And when we actually are at our peak, we probably will never be as bad as New York City just because we don't have the density that they do. But we could still get it bad here. And I want people to understand that, yeah, we're never going to have as many deaths as New York City would in a situation unless we just completely ignore all community standards of physical distancing and go about our normal business. Then we're going to have a problem that we cannot take care of. So we've worked with the Army Corps of Engineers. They're finalizing a plan right now and converting the convention center into a COVID ICU hospital with potentially up to 1,000 beds. We thankfully are in still a good position with regards to our hospitalization. I actually get reports at the end of the day of all hospital beds, ICU beds, non-ICU beds. And as you say, here in New York City, they basically are full, and they're converting every hospital into an ICU hospital solely for COVID. I mean, we currently have over 1,300 beds available in Erie County total, and we got about 200 ICU beds. Now, within a few weeks, we're not going to have 200 ICU beds available, so that's why we're talking about turning the convention center into a hospital for COVID patients only. So our goal is to flatten the curve as much as we can. We know even with flattening the curve, there's still going to be a lot of people who are going to get COVID-19, and a lot of people are going to get sick, and a lot of people who are going to die. But if we can control that so it's not happening all at once, because some of the modeling shows that if you don't do anything and it happens all at once, it's just not pretty. I look at those numbers, and I have not talked about them publicly, but it's not the kind of thing that I think this community could even think about contemplating. So we need to avoid that. And the best way to do that is to continue to physically distance from each other, connect socially, but don't put us others in a situation where you're spreading COVID-19, because then it reduces our ability to respond by hospitals. And then it puts those workers at risk. So if we can continue doing that, and I know, Mike, you're saying you feel positive, if we can do that, we'll be in a much better situation. It's still not going to be great, but it won't be the worst-case situation, which is really a worst-case situation.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Poloncarz, thanks for your time and all your efforts. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Everyone stay safe, be well, and socially distant from each other. And I'm going to continue to enjoy Bulldog's guitar videos. And I do expect something from you, Mike. I don't care what it is. I do expect something.
I mean, I did something yesterday, but it you can't sing to it. So I'll try to do better. But we'll work on it.
Mark, thank you. My buddy John Gale, he's Canadian. He wants to see you play something on the Rickenbacker. Just so you know, like, I don't know if you're taking requests.
Guessing gets out of tune too much, though. That's the only problem. Yeah. I need a super work job on that. But I might have some good old Canadian music, some Tragically Hip coming up soon.
All right, good. Yeah.
We're taking requests from Canada right now? Is that appropriate? Get in line, Mr. Gale. All right. Thanks again, sir.
You're welcome. Take care, everyone.
Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz will come back, talk some sports here. Do we have? There might be a Sabres question that needs to be figured out.
Okay.
So.
Well, we're just the crew to figure it out.
That's what I think, too. 803-0550 for us. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's my job and my team's job to my personnel staff to add weapons to help Brian Daboll and his staff and help our quarterback and Sean. And one of the things that I thought we still needed, hence I was referring to us, you know, snooping around at the trade deadline, was, you know, finding somebody opposite John Brown paired with Cole Beasley. The draft is stacked with receivers as well. I just felt like it was going to be really hard unless I traded up really high to find a guy that I know could walk in day one. You know, I just felt a proven commodity was worth this.
Bills GM Brandon Bean, these guys will never change. The idea here is I can tell who the good players are. I mean, how many years have to go by? But okay. I mean, I'm not here to bang on them. I mean, the Diggs trade works for me. But, you know, just sounds like Bean thinks, like most general managers sound when they talk, that there's a straight line in these drafts and just like every draft shows different. Okay, though. I get the point. The point is he's supposed to know, right? He's in the job because he's supposed to know.
Well, he's got to make a choice one way or another. So maybe a part of it is just convincing yourself that you know. And like, I don't know if when your head hits the pillow, you actually really believe that you know. But if you want to do the gig, maybe he feels like he needs to have that, or other people feel that they need to have that certainty, as opposed to just saying publicly, "No, really, I'm just throwing darts. Anybody could do this, but please keep paying me a couple $100,000 or more a year to do the job."
Millions, probably, right?
Right, right.
Don't you think?
Probably, yeah. I don't know what he makes.
Modest
there. Yeah, me either.
Yeah, well, deciding between Diggs and like a rookie is a different kind of choice, and that's the choice I'm focused on. Like, that's the choice he made, and I'm okay for where mm-hmm. the Bills are in the curve and everything. Like, I'm okay, but come on. I mean, just do we really think that the receivers picked in the top 10 are the only ones? They're going to have the best careers? Like, necessarily? I mean, what are the chances of that? Anyway, I don't want to focus on that because it's the same point every day, you know. I wondered last night. So I'm sitting down to write this Sabres thing. I'm watching this game with Ottawa from 2006, and I wanted to do what I ended up doing: go through player by player and just this is what I remember most about them, whether it's something they did on the ice or some conversation we had with them. And as I'm setting up to do that, as I tweeted, can I just check first, is the Jason Pominville goal the greatest goal in Sabres history? And it occurred to me that if we ever really, like, got into that, I don't remember it. Like, I don't remember ever really having that conversation. No. Maybe we did. One guy on Twitter was kind of a jerk about it. Like, you've probably done that 100 times. Like, I maybe have done it 3.
Yeah.
But so what if it's 4? Like, I don't care. So is that the goal? And so there was some conversation online, or a lot of it actually, about this. And maybe there are, not maybe, I mean, there are 4 or 5 potential right answers to what is the Sabres' greatest goal, right? Would you say that?
Sure. Yeah, I would want to, I mean, I've got in my head, there's, you know, that goal clearly. Mayday, I think, is in the discussion. I feel like Derek Plant winning Game 7 in overtime gets overlooked in conversations like this, but it probably should be in the conversation.
I agree.
You know, I guess I'm thinking for myself, I saw some Twitter chatter that was generated from this question you asked as you were writing this piece for the website. And the Rene Robert goal in overtime in the Fog game in 75 is mentioned by someone in the Twitter thread. And so, you know, that wins a Stanley Cup Finals game in overtime. That's pretty big.
It's famous.
Right. But then if I've got that, then I probably have Woolley, right, in Game 1 in Dallas. That's overtime, and that wins a game in the Finals. And I don't know, I'm partial to Danny in 75 in the semis, even though it's game one, because for me, that was, I like Montreal was just a monster to me. Like, how am I going to deal with Montreal? Montreal always wins, right? Look at how they're just great. And here's game one. It's overtime, and the Sabres get a goal. They win the game. And that was massive to me as a little kid. Like, they could beat Montreal in the playoffs. Wow. And even though it didn't win the series, it was very significant to me. And it's a great highlight, too, the way he slides into the end boards and everything. That would be my list. And I don't know, what is that? Is that six goals that I got to there? That would be – I don't think I'm missing anything. That would be my list.
Is Drury on your list? Did you say that one?
I did not. I don't think – I mean, it's an incredible moment, but didn't you mention Briere doing likewise in the next series in game two?
That is the tricky thing.
Right. They don't win the game. So, you know, like, the Drury moment is great, but I don't think it can be the greatest goal in franchise history if all it did was give you a chance to win or lose the game in overtime. I think you need to win the game.
Well, I'm not sure I know the answer, because I could go on in my mind. It never ends. Like, trying to figure that out. I never am able to figure it out. There's a puzzle to it.
Yeah.
All the goals are worth the same amount. So in the case of any of these games, like take the game in Ottawa, Henrik Tillander scored the first goal of that game from the boards. Is that the right game? Game five? Where he scores, I'm driving home as it happens. He scores from the boards for 1-0 early in that game. That goal isn't worth less than the Pominville goal, or is any other goal scored in any of these games, right? So there's that. You can't have Mac scores in overtime against the Rangers. You can't have that without the Drury goal. So, like, already I'm sort of looking, I'm contradicting myself, right? Mm-hmm. Because is the overtime goal the bigger goal? I can't have the overtime without the other one. And I can't have Jason Pominville's goal without the goals they scored in that game that nobody remembers.
Right, and I don't remember them at all.
Yeah, so Briere scores with 6 seconds left in game two of the conference finals to send that game to overtime. They lose. So who cares? And, like, it's no different. They're both playoff series. One's bigger than the other. Can't make the other without the first one, but still. And one's a second later, if that matters. Arguably, the Briere goal is more important because they're facing going down 2-0. The other one is facing going down 3-2. Maybe that's not more, like, oh, it's already, yep. I'm already exhausted.
Right.
So the it's exhausting, but it's necessary. Like, what exactly are the terms? What is the definition, or what should be the definition of the greatest goal? Plant, I forgot that one at one point in the conversation. That's the only seventh game in 50 years they've ever won in any round. Right. Incredibly. Is that, though, cheapened because, like, they get blown out in the second round because Hasek isn't there, because, like, that team didn't go farther? So is that part of this, too? What happens in the rest of the playoffs? Or even the rest of the series, you know?
I think it definitely affects how you feel about the magnitude of the goal, and maybe that's why it gets kind of forgotten. That team, also the 97 team, gets sort of overshadowed by the 05, 06, 07 Sabres, I think. So there's that. There's also, you know, style points on the goal itself,
right? That's also
matter.
A question, too.
And like Tugnutt, you know, come on, that's a garbage play by Tugnutt. I mean, he's got in his glove, and like Derek Plant blows your glove off from the blue line. I mean, it's a bad play by the goalie. The Pominville play is a great play. You know, Drury is there to pick up the garbage, and good for him. He slams it into the net past a bunch of legs. But the Pominville goal is a work of art. You know, I mean, it's just beautiful.
And Brad May is even better.
Yes, right. I think if you're gonna do it, I'm eliminating goals that tie the game to force overtime, which is why initially when I ran down this list, I did not include Drury. I wouldn't ever think to include that Briere goal in a game they lost. You've got to win something. And so did you win the game? Then I think you clear a bar for me if I'm in charge mm-hmm. of the criteria, which, you know, I'm not alone in charge of it. But for me, that would be a threshold. And then from there, it's okay. How many of these won series? And how good are the plays? Who are the plays against? You know, Ray Bourque is involved at the flashpoint of the Brad May goal. That's amazing. Alfredson and Redden are at the goal mouth in Ottawa. Like, that's those are kingpin players on a great team. So, and Pominville just makes them look ridiculous. I think Pominville checks the most boxes if you consider the style points of the goal, the aesthetics of the play itself. I think it definitely, you know, it wins a second-round playoff
it
series.
It wins a series. That is a great place to start. Michael Groshek is on hold. It wins a series. Is it better on the road, or is it worse? I mean, there's so many parts to it. We'll look for your calls on the subject when we return, 803-0550. What is the greatest Sabres goal? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back, Mike Schopen and the Bulldog with you 3 to 7 weekdays. Let's go to Guy on WGR. Hello, Guy.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
All right.
Yeah, so I just wanted to comment on the greatest Sabres goal of all time thing you got going on here. And you guys just, I think you just said that Pominville's was an overtime series winner. And my point is, it's got to be, to me, it's Brad May. His was also an overtime series winner against the Big Bad Bruins, and it was a sweep, and it was an amazing play by Pat LaFontaine, and Brad May fought off Don Sweeney and then juked out both the goaltender and Ray Bourque.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Pominville's not a slam dunk in this. I was just merely establishing some criteria.
I'm not even sure I would choose Pominville. I just like the question, and I'm not doing very well picking one. I'm just like, there's a great argument for two or three or more.
I just think that's probably, in my opinion, that's the greatest one. It's just so amazing. The whole series of events that just happened before that. And then he, like you said, you know, he did beat Don Sweeney and Ray Bourque and the goaltender. You know, that's not Daniel Alfredson.
Is that better? Is Don Sweeney better than Daniel Alfredson here? Is like, does it help that it's Boston? Does it help that it's a sweep? Does it help that it's Don Sweeney? Like, I don't know these answers.
Yeah.
Alfredson's going to the Hall of Fame.
And so what are the other guys?
Well, Bourque, but not Don Sweeney.
Not Sweeney, right.
Sweeney is definitely better than Alfredson on defense.
Okay. See, you see how this can be hard? Thank you, Guy.
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I like that it's Alfredson. Wait a minute. Alfredson's an all-time great. I like that it's Alfredson.
Every one of the questions that you just rapid-fired there you can make a case for either side.
Yeah.
Does it matter that it's Boston? Yes. Does it matter that it's a sweep? Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Like, you're 3-1 in Ottawa, and if I don't get a goal there, it's 3-2, and now it's getting a little tighter, whereas 3-1 with Boston, going back to Boston, like, I'm still in control. They've got to win 4 in a row. You know, like, whatever. Like, you got a little more wiggle room, but they're close. You know, 3-1 is only one game different than 3-0. But still, it's. I think that cuts both ways for me. So it's like Ottawa was the rival then. Ottawa had kind of owned the Sabres most of that year. I mean, you see the reaction last night when they nailed down that shootout win. Like, Miller looks like they just won something, you know, and it's just a regular season game with Ottawa. It's like they were to be reckoned with then. I mean, we didn't have great history like we have with Boston. So, I mean, you can go all over the road on this.
Yep. Remember the goal Joe Corvo scored to win game two in the conference finals for Ottawa the next year?
Yeah, it's like a point shot that maybe kind of bounces.
Right. They win the draw, and he's the defenseman at the point. He shoots it, and it goes through and in. If Jason Pominville's goal is that goal instead, is it like is it not even under consideration? Like, the fact this guy can pump up the Brad May goal, and anyone should. Pominville's is almost as good. Like, it's a great play by him. The whole length of the ice. I mean, it's not like that was just a deflection off his butt or something. It was pretty good. So, if Brad May is a 10 out of 10, and it might be, for the play, Pominville's got to be like a 7 or an 8 at least, I think. I mean, that's a great job by him.
Yep.
803-0550. I don't know. Like, I'm not even sure that should matter. I'm not even sure that should matter. But maybe it does. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. We'll try some more here after sports on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.